This is the Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency with information for business and IT professionals. This episode is brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymously and without oversight. For 20% off your new account, go to proxpn.com/podcast and use the coupon code CIAOps. This is episode 57 with Mark Liebman. Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane, and in this episode, I'm joined by Mark Liebman. Mark, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. So to start off, as we always do, Mark, can you give us a bit of a background, a bit of an idea of who you are and what you do?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a whole podcast in itself. But in a nutshell, I'm a Microsoft Xbox MVP, and I run an Xbox community website for Australia called Ozbox Live, and that includes news, reviews, interviews, discussions, a whole bunch of stuff. We do community events. And it's just been interesting what's happened to my life over the past 6 or 7 years since I first started this.
So what sort of got you into the Xbox? I mean, was it, you know, you were using it beforehand, or you saw it for, you know, some sort of direction? I mean, why did you actually sort of go down that path?
Now, that's a really good question. It's always interesting thinking about, you know, what made you start off as a fan of one particular brand or console or item. And, you know, like everyone else, I was a fan of Nintendo. I was raised by them. I had all their consoles. And when we got to the point of PlayStation and the first Xbox, and I think it would have been Nintendo GameCube, Xbox, it didn't do anything for me when it first came out. Halo wasn't that special yet because no one really introduced it to me. No one really knew how amazing Halo was going to be. It took actually a year for when the Xbox was released in Australia until something happened that made me go, wow, this is the most amazing thing. And surprisingly, that was the Xbox Live service, but specifically a game called Crimson Skies, High Road to Revenge. I'm not too sure if you're aware of the PC version that was originally released, but essentially it's a flying aeroplane game. You know, you're attacking other planes. But what this game did, which no other console did before, was that you could play online with 16 people from around the world and talk to them at the same time. And when I was showed a demonstration at work by an Xbox ambassador, that just blew my mind. That was just the most amazing thing. The next day, I bought the Xbox Live kit, and I haven't looked back since. It's been just amazing since then. It's always getting better and better.
I think, again, that's one thing that a lot of people overlook is that one of Microsoft's most successful cloud services is Xbox Live, and it's pretty much up all the time. And, again, the demands on that sort of service by the customers is very, very high. So they've been running it successfully for many, many years. And obviously now it's the linchpin of all these sort of consoles is the ability to bring all these players together and their consoles and to play in this interactive world. And I think, you know, like I said, that's the amazing thing that a lot of people that I know look at it, it's just a shooty up game, you know, I'm not interested in it. But when you look at the, you know, the virtual reality world of it, it's amazing.
It is. And I have to be careful with what I want to say, because I want to describe this event that I went to. There's a Microsoft MVP Summit, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, a little bit more. But I had the actual opportunity to go to the Microsoft head office, and in the tour, in their office in Seattle, and they showed us this room called the ZOC room, which is X-O-C, and that stands for Xbox Live Operations Center. And out of everything they showed me during this week that I was there, this was the thing that really stood in my mind, and I remember it so well. It's basically a standard room with computers in there, but this is how they maintain the Xbox Live service for the entire world. So at any time, they can see this person in Australia is trying to play this copy of Titanfall, and something went wrong, let's fix it. And it's just amazing. It's kind of like a NASA center, like for going to the moon. It was just amazing to witness this and see them, how they work in action.
So in respect to things like, you know, Windows 8 and Office 365 and server products, how serious is Microsoft about Xbox as a, you know, as a business opportunity, do you think?
See, that's a good question. That's a tough one for me to answer, because obviously I don't work at Microsoft. So I know they've appointed a new CEO now, and things are changing all the time. I would hope and assume that they are really focusing quite heavily on the Xbox brand. I don't think anyone, any new presidents or CEOs or directors are going to say, that's it, we're cancelling Xbox, we're doing all these major changes, because they've spent billions of dollars on these machines just to get it to where it is today. And it's doing extremely well. And as you can see, everything's sort of related to each other, the way Windows 8 works with your Xbox One, with even apps for your iPhone, iPad, Windows, Google phones, whatever it is, and Smart Glass and Kinect. It's all related to each other. So it's definitely going to be stronger and stronger over the next years. That's my personal belief.
So what's your take on, obviously, you know, we've got a new console with the Xbox One, and there has been some controversy around that product. It would seem that it's probably a bit immature, but obviously needed to get out to market along with the competition, and will need some work and will improve. But sort of what's your take on that new console and the way that it has been launched?
Well, obviously, I love it. That's just a definite thing. I will say, when I got home with the machine, the experience of opening it up, setting it up for the first time, wasn't as smooth as you would remember from the olden days. You know, if you think of the Super Nintendo, Nintendo 64, Xbox original, it was a machine, you plug in power, you plug in another cable, and away you go. When you get your Xbox One home for the first time, you have to do a major update. And I can't even remember if that was 500 megabytes or a gigabyte or more, but it was a big update. And because there were so many people getting their Xbox One on launch day trying to update, it took quite a long time. It could have been 1.5 hours before my machine was up and running, ready to go. And my wireless internet wasn't working too well with the Xbox One at the time, because I think I needed that new update. So I had to get a really long Ethernet cable, connect that to the router and do it. That said, once I got the Xbox One updated, everything's running smoothly, no major issues, everything's been fantastic. And I know what the issues that you're sort of referring to. There's a lot of people that demand, I think, way too many things, and they go, well, the Xbox 360 has these services, why doesn't the Xbox One? You just got to remember, it's a brand new console, new features, they're trying new things, they're always getting feedback from the community, they are always listening, and with time, everything will be updated. That's my big thing. The only issue that I can foresee is someone buying an Xbox One and then never connecting that machine online and having no internet access. It's kind of like, I don't know, it just like buying a VCR. It doesn't really do anything these days, yeah.
Oh, I think, again, it would seem that like most devices, like your phone or your tablet or your PC, there's not a lot of functionality you get without connecting up to the internet. So, you know, really these are becoming just windows onto the online world, and you've got the Xbox Live. But one of the things that I found really enjoyable on my Xbox 360 is the app. So for me, there's a YouTube app, and what I can do during the day is, you know, for example, tee up a whole range of YouTube videos, watch later, and then rather than watching television, now I can sit down with the YouTube app and just work through the watch later. So again, do it on a nice big screen, and there's, you know, other apps like Crackle that allow you to watch, you know, movies and things like that. I mean, it's and again, I see that as, again, you know, a good way that Microsoft's going and integrating these third parties, and I'd like to see a lot more of them. I mean, what's your sort of take on that sort of opening the ecosystem a bit?
Yeah, I absolutely love that. I agree 100%. It's just going to get better and better. And I even, you know, like for when you get your Xbox One home and you put your first Blu-ray movie in, it has to do an update to actually get the Blu-ray app. So that's something I found interesting. You know, you get so much more value having an Xbox 360 or Xbox One and internet. That's what I mean. It's just, it'll just play games and that's it without the internet. But having internet capabilities, obviously, all these apps that are going to be coming out over the next 5 years are just going to be incredible. And the fact that I'm positive there will be an AFL app eventually. It might be 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is. And you can imagine how exciting that will be for, you know, everyone in Australia wanting to watch their particular football team and have that sort of snapped on the side of the screen whilst they're playing Halo or Titanfall and getting all the latest updates with what's going on. And I think there's so many new possibilities and opportunities for businesses. I know Pizza Hut have their own app. I don't think it's available in Australia, but the fact that you can order pizza through your Xbox 360, that's fantastic.
And I think, again, the other impressive thing is it's still probably a little not complete, is the smart glass and the extending of your Xbox to your tablet, so you can obviously control it from your Windows phone or your iPad and stream stuff backwards and forwards. So I think it's a very positive thing to see that Microsoft's looking beyond its own, its own areas to try and expand and make this product more enticing, because it appreciates that obviously, you know, their key market is using multiple devices.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, now they're going into TV series. They're going to be making their own TV shows like Netflix and I think Amazon. So the first thing they announced was Halo, the TV series produced by Steven Spielberg. I mean, that's something, you know, you never would have dreamed would have happened 10 years ago. And hopefully, it's a big success. And then we might get Gears of War, the TV series, and Titanfall, you know, the TV series. Maybe Uno or Bomberman, the TV series. That'll be fun for me.
Well, it sort of shows you also the amount of money, you know, that this sort of business is worth. I mean, I saw a stat that it's something like 10 times the turnover of what Hollywood is or something. I mean, it's some huge amount. I mean, it's just amazing. And I think one of the events that obviously is the pivotal that is the E3 event, which I believe that you've been lucky enough to attend, you know, multiple times now.
Yeah, so I've been fortunate enough to go to E3 for the past 5 years in a row, which is amazing. I was happy to go once, and it's become very addictive, so I'm definitely trying to go this year and next year, and I'll try to go forever. But basically, that's the Electronics Entertainment Expo, and it's held once a year in June in Los Angeles at the LA Convention Center. And this is where everything happens. It's where Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo, they make their major, major announcements. This is where they will announce a new console, new game franchises, sequels, all the big things. So it's a very interesting experience for, you know, being an Australian, purely because 70% of the people that attend E3 are from outside the United States. So when you think about that, you're meeting some amazing people from all around the world who are just fans of gaming. And it's quite an amazing experience. We don't have anything like this at all in Australia. You know, we've got PAX Australia, we've got Comic-Con and Supernova, a few other events, but this is just completely off the charts.
And is it, you know, basically just a trade event? I mean, is it, you know, is there learning there? Is there, I mean, what's the sort of the vibe? Is it just a trade show?
I guess it could be different for everyone. So I get a media pass. So I feel very proud and excited when I get my little Ozbox Live media badge. And that means for me, when I'm there, I'm interviewing all the developers, the publishers, the directors. So, you know, other people might experience different things. I know there's a corporate level where you've got these corporate people, maybe even people from Harvey Norman, JB Hi-Fi are going there to visit to see the new consoles. But these would be the very high up people, obviously. But mainly it is a trade show. You do see celebrities in there. So obviously they're trying to get the latest celebrities excited about the latest games so they can talk about it and do all their tweets. And I think there are people that might buy tickets. You hear about that, but then they're waiting in lines for hours upon hours to get their hands on first just to play the game. So it's kind of a mix of everything. They are demonstrating the games to people. They're doing interviews with media. They're trying to sell, obviously, the games and consoles to different buyers. And there are other companies, maybe smaller startup companies, trying to show off their game or their software to get other publishers to buy theirs. So it's honestly quite crazy and insane. I have a great time. I have a fun time, but I'm running around like a madman in these two huge halls for 3 days without any sleep. It's stressful, but it's a lot of fun.
But that's just like playing Xbox normally, isn't it?
Yeah, very similar. But in real life, you know, you have to run around for all these hurdles. You know, you've got one interview with one person, you know, at Warner Brothers, and you have to run to the other side, to the Ubisoft booth, then you have to go to back to the Xbox booth. So, yeah, it gets hectic at times, but I've, you know, been fortunate enough to interview some amazing people over the years.
Maybe you should dedicate some time and write your own Xbox game that mimics that so you can get all this practice during the year.
Well, you could probably do that now that Project Spark just came out. We've done our latest episode of Ozbox Live Radio, which is a Project Spark special, and basically that's a game where you create your own games. So you can do absolutely anything you want. So that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, all right. So you've mentioned this Ozbox Live. Do you want to give us a bit of background on what that is and how that works?
Yeah, so yeah, I started the website 6-7 years ago, just ozboxlive.com, and on the website we feature some reviews, some interviews, the press releases, news, that kind of stuff. You know, it's not like IGN or Kotaku or GameSpot or other gaming websites. We do what we can. You know, all the people on the website are all volunteers, obviously, but the main focus is the podcast itself. So Ozbox Live Radio is where we just have a bunch of people. We do interviews with the Australian Xbox community. But most of the time now, I've done all these interviews from E3, and I use them throughout the next 6 months, the next year, as special features. So, you know, one of my favorite interviews with Sefton Hill, who was the creator of Batman Arkham Asylum, and that was my first time going to E3 in 2009, I think it would have been. It's hard. It's all a blur thinking of all the different E3 conferences. Meeting people like Peter Molyneux, who created the Fable series, Cliff Bleszinski, who created the Gears of War franchise. And we have big interviews with people like them. We give away games and Xbox Live Gold as well on the podcast, which is fantastic. And then we just try to share the latest news specifically concerning Australia. And that was my key focus when I started this. You know, there's so many podcasts out there, obviously, and there's a lot of podcasts about video games and more podcasts about Xbox. But a lot of them don't really focus on what's happening in Australia because they're from America or from Canada or from anywhere else in the world. So, you know, back when I was going to university, there was a podcast that's still going today called Major Nelson Radio. And basically that's made by Larry Herb, who works at Microsoft Xbox. And he would be the main reason that sort of motivated me to start my own podcast. At the time, I thought, why isn't he talking about, you know, the R18 plus issue? We don't have an R18 plus. Why is he talking about this game being cancelled or delayed in Australia? So I thought, since no one else is going to do this, maybe I'll just start it myself. And it's worked out pretty well. It's been going really strong every year and still happy to do it.
And obviously that has brought you the attention of Microsoft, and they have bestowed on you an MVP designation. So obviously a Microsoft Most Valued Professional. I mean, what's your experience been, you know, with that?
It's really interesting because I didn't start Ozbox Live to become an MVP or anything like that because I had obviously no idea what an MVP was. I just did what I did because I enjoyed doing it. I enjoyed helping out the community, doing community playdates with Microsoft, game nights, giving away prizes, helping out people, you know, setting up their Xbox, answering their questions, and organizing charity events and doing presentations. So I just really enjoyed all these things. And I remember when I first was told that I was nominated for the MVP program, I was like, okay, what is this? And my MVP lead at the time, Nick, he kept emailing me over several months. He needed some information about me, about the website, the podcast, what I do, why. Just a very simple email. And I didn't do it for several months because I didn't know who he was and why he was bothering me. And eventually he just wrote a nice email saying, I just need all this information. It'll really help. Please, if you can email me when you get a chance. So I just gave him as much information as possible. And I thought, that's it. Thank you so much. You can now leave me alone. And then I get an email back like a week later saying, congratulations, you've been nominated. And I'm like shrugging my shoulders thinking, okay, well, what is this? And then I think it would have been January 1st, 2010, saying, congratulations, you are an Xbox MVP. And I was like, oh, wow, cool. What does that mean? And you get a nice certificate, a little plaque and trophy thing, little business card type thing. And then I heard about the MVP Summit and they go, wow, that sounds really interesting. And then when I learned more about the MVP program and what it means to be, it made me want to work harder on Ozbox Live, on the podcast, on the charity events, to still become an MVP each year. So as you're aware, obviously, it's an award for the previous year's work that you do, and you have to be nominated each year. So it's honestly quite an amazing honor and achievement to have received this award for 5 years in a row.
So tell us a bit about the MVP Summit. I mean, why was it, you know, such a good thing in your eyes?
Well, it really changed my life. And I know that sounds weird. A lot of people will laugh at that and they just won't understand. But that was my first time really going, obviously, to Microsoft head office. So that was something I was very excited to see, that I'll be seeing where the Xbox games are made. I'll be meeting the developers of the Xbox console, the Xbox Live service, the controller itself, perhaps, and just some amazing things. But the big thing that changed my life wasn't necessarily the experience of being on the campus, but the fellow Xbox MVPs that I have. There's maybe 50 Xbox MVPs around the world, so it's not a very big, I guess, group when you think about to the other MVP areas. But it was an amazing experience meeting these other people that are exactly like me. They run a website, they might run a podcast, community events, whatever it is, but they're exactly like me. And that was really quite eye-opening and inspirational, because I felt like I was alone for the first 2 years doing this. It's like, why am I doing this? I'm not paid by Microsoft to do these things. Am I being appreciated? Does anyone out there really care? But then when you meet these other people who are going through the same things as you, that's what really changed my life. And they really motivate me and inspire me on a day-to-day basis to see what they're working on.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. And the important thing is it's a community, and importantly, it's a award that's, reevaluated every year. And you obviously have to, make sure that you are contributing to the community to receive that. And I think that's correct. An important thing. And again, it is a great honor, as you do, as you've indicated there. So tell us a little bit about the sort of the charity stuff that you do as well that you've mentioned there.
Yeah, look, one of the things I wanted to do early on was figure out a way that I could get the Xbox community involved in some way to help a charity. And again, this is a thing I've noticed with gamers. They play their games, they enjoy their games, they make fun of the games, they bag the games and the companies, and they get very aggressive very quickly if something doesn't work, if the service doesn't work or there's a glitch, they really get quite upset. So I thought, what's a way to bring the community together in a nice, positive way? And so that's when I created Experience Expo, and it's obviously with a big X at the beginning and another X. And basically, I've run that for 3 years in a row. I missed out last year, just did not have a chance because of work, but hopefully we'll be doing it this year and next year. And it's at the State Library of Victoria. And basically, they have a big room there called the Xperia Media Room, which is just this huge sort of auditorium. They have this giant projector and a huge amount of space. So speaking with the library director, I shared with him the idea that I had, what can we do to make the library happy, to be good for Xbox Live, and to make the charity happy and Microsoft and everyone involved. So the idea was to bring about 50 Xboxes in. I had to outsource these and organize these myself through my contacts, my family, my friends. The library helped me quite a little bit, Microsoft, obviously. And we had about, 40, 50 Xboxes. The games were all from all the publishers. These were all the latest games from all the companies, whether it was EA or Activision, THQ at the time, Ubisoft. And the key was that they gave us one copy to demonstrate and show, and for the library to keep. So if you actually went to the State Library of Victoria today, you'll see all these Xbox games, probably a couple of hundred, hopefully over the past few years, Xbox 360 games that you can just sit down and play. And then the other copy was for the raffle. So it was free entry, $5 to buy a raffle ticket, and all the money would go to the Royal Melbourne Children's Hospital. So you can see what I mean. It's a fun event. See all the latest games. Play, 30, 40, 50 games all at once. See them all on these giant projectors and TV screens. Help out a charity. And it's been, really successful each year.
And I think that's, again, an important thing to remember, that it is – the Xbox is something that cuts across all demographics. So you've got, most people would think that it's typically the 9-year-old or the 10-year-old that's playing it after school. But, you look at someone like Paul Thurrott, obviously a well-known, media commentator who's a big Xbox fan, and Leo Laporte. And, again, I think that's what people, again, don't overlook. There's a huge range of people that actually play and enjoy Xbox. And I think that's growing. I mean, is that a fair comment?
It's growing, expanding all the time. I mean, you might say, everyone might say different things, but the Xbox target demographic might be 18 to 35-year-old males. And that might be the main core, but you can see with what we were talking about earlier, the apps, that's a whole different market there. With Kinect, that opens it up completely to a whole new group of younger children, both, male and female. And they're adding so many new genres and types of games that everyone of all ages can play and enjoy the machine in their own different ways.
And I think the big thing for me is, I've been a PC gamer for a long time, and obviously getting a game to run on a PC is a bit of a pain in the butt sometimes with the graphics and those sort of things. And then you move to another PC and you've got to go through that exercise again. On the Xbox, you turn it on, put the game in, and guess what? It fires up and plays. So I think that's a big positive.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the key things for me. I've got, your PC and okay setup, and that's fine, but I've never really liked the PC gaming. Again, I know the PC gamers out there will say it's all blasphemy, but the way you're sitting in front of a computer monitor, you're so close to the screen, and your posture, the way you're, it doesn't feel that relaxing for me, the way you're sitting, and the mouse and keyboard, I feel like I'm getting RSI whenever I use a mouse and keyboard for gaming. So I don't honestly play like that. I definitely love my controller, my Xbox 360 and Xbox One controller. It just feels so much more comfortable sitting back on your couch, on your big screen TV, whether you've got surround sound setup or surround sound headphones. And like you said, that was the key selling point for me, is that you get the game, you put it in, and away you go. None of these little settings or NVIDIA graphics card updates or even Windows 8 updates or antivirus updates, whatever it is you have to worry about.
And also, I think, again, it's good to split the environment because, you know, the general thing is most PCs are work PCs for people, yes, or need to do homework or something, and keeping the game separate from that certainly, I think, reduces the problems that you have, you know, on the machine in general. Mm. So I think that's a good move. So with all these games available, I'll give you two questions. So the first one is what's your, going back all the way through, what's your favorite game of all time, and what game are you playing at the moment?
Oh, that is a good question. Favorite game of all time? I'll probably say Bomberman Live. Bomberman's been around for years. He was on the Super Nintendo, I think even original Nintendo. But the Xbox 360 edition of Bomberman Live, what did that for me is, number one, it's so simple to play. It's just a bird's eye view looking down, kind of like a little chessboard there. But it's eight players, eight people. So not AI. You've got eight actual people online playing. And it's really up, down, left, right, and press A to drop a bomb. Very, very cartoony graphics, like really cartoony, sort of Japanese manga type style. But it gets very addictive, this gameplay. It's only 2-minute rounds, and you're trying to not only attack other players, but you're trying to defend from other people attacking you. And then if you have this sudden death mode, you can have these little go-kart characters that are on the sides of the screen that are trying to attack you so they can jump back in. So there's a lot of action and a lot of mayhem going on at once on this one screen. So it's great fun when you have four people over at your house and you're playing on the one screen against another four people from anywhere in the world. So that would be my number one choice. Have you ever played Bomberman yourself?
No, I can't say that I have. My personal favorite was Midtown Madness.
That's a classic.
I was very disappointed that they didn't port that to the Xbox 360, unfortunately. Mm. But again, it was one of the games. It was very simple. It's just a driving game, basically through a city, and you had a number of tasks, but generally you had to get from point A to point B, say, across Paris. And the ability just to put the game in, basically, you know, go full throttle all the time and try and stay on course. But you could end up, you know, driving up walls and jumping over rivers. And again, it was just one of those, mindless is probably not the right word. But again, you could really immerse yourself in it, enjoy it. And again, I found that a fantastic, you know, again, a very simple game. And again, a bit disappointed it didn't make its way to the 360.
And we're actually talking about that on our podcast a couple of weeks ago, and it would be lovely if Microsoft somehow made like a Midtown Madness HD collection with numbers 1, 2, and 3 and then released that for the Xbox One. You can imagine that would be a huge hit, especially if they charge maybe $20, $30, $40. You know, I'm sure someone like yourself would love that.
Well, I think also, too, the other thing I noticed, I mean, look, I enjoy playing, you know, Call of Duty and Forza Motorsport and all those sort of things, but in some ways, it's become too complicated. I mean, I understand the, you know, the loadouts and the right weapons or the right tires, and it's like, you know what? You know, I've got, you know, half an hour or 15 minutes to play a game and relax. I just want to get in there, push a button and play. Mm. You know, and again, if you're playing in the online world, the other thing I notice is a newbie, you just don't stand a chance. So,
no, correct.
So the way I would see it is you'd be better off saying, you know what, if you're experienced, you should have less skills, less weapons, whereas a newbie should be able to pick from everything. So again, turning the whole thing around. So the reward is that actually the game gets tougher as your skill increases.
That's not a bad idea, and that's, I'm sure, a kind of mode that they could create, whether it's Call of Duty or Battlefield or Titanfall, whatever type of game. That could be a good little mode, so that way it's a bit more balanced.
Well, I think, again, the thing is, if you want people obviously to get involved, I don't remember when I started playing, you know, Call of Duty online, it's like, you know, as soon as you'd regenerate, you'd just be shot. And it's like, this is so depressing that I can't even, you know, do the basics. And you've got to have that sort of competitive streak in you to not let the 9-year-olds beat you. But it certainly takes a little while to get decent weapons, to get, you know, the skills, the extra bits and pieces. And then, apart from that, is to also understand, well, hang on, okay, so I add this, and this is where I add this, and okay, and how it all sort of works. And I think, unfortunately, you know, for the average player, that can be a bit of a constraint in really enjoying the game.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And I think part of it, too, is that you know, the game has to obviously, you know, make sure that it appeals to all levels, and having that depth of detail is what a lot of people do want. But I think there's also a genre like Midtown Madness that is relatively simple, and you can just slot it in the way you go and you know, and often go and enjoy the game. So again, but I see the, like I said, more and more titles, more and more available, more and more interest, and also more immersive. And you're talking about, like, I think, you know, I saw the Harry Potter one where it interacts with Kinect and you wave your arm and you do spells and things like that. You sort of think, yeah, you know, it's very interesting the way that they're getting this 3D experience as well.
That's true. I remember actually playing that at E3. Again, I can't remember what year it was, and demonstrating that. And I got quite a little bit of a workout, and that's not my type of game. You know, I haven't even seen all the Harry Potter movies properly, but trying that, you know, level where you're actually using Kinect and running or jogging and jumping at the same time whilst these characters are chasing you, that's going to be amazing. Again, maybe for the younger kids out there, I don't know how many of the hardcore gamers are going to be wanting to do that, but that's where the new version of Kinect on the Xbox One is going to be interesting, because it's so much more accurate. You could be playing your game and you could simply lean your body left or right, or maybe do a specific hand gesture, and the characters in the game will understand what that is straight away. And that's something the last version of Kinect could not really do.
So again, for me, it's like, if you look at Call of Duty, I mean, just getting the aiming right with the little thumbs and the buttons is just you know, very difficult. Obviously, the more, the older you get, the less dexterous in a way you become. It would be good if the Kinect could actually pick up your ability to aim, because obviously aiming physically with your hands is probably much quicker than trying to do it with your thumbs. So I certainly see that coming down the track, and I also see that. What would your comment be on, you know, something like a complete 3D immersive experience? Like, you know, you strap on the glasses and you've got that complete virtual reality experience.
So this is a good one. I know 3D gaming, I don't think, took off as well as they hoped. I remember, I think the last version of Doom came out support 3D, Batman Arkham City, Da Blob, I remember that one was a big one. So a lot of games support 3D if you have a 3D television, but then you have to wear these glasses. So I think the next step might be more exciting, whether it's the Oculus Rift. Apparently there's rumors Sony are going to be doing something exactly like that, that they'll be announcing at E3, where you put some sort of headset on. I think it's good, because it's exciting that you will sort of be in the actual game. So it will be interesting to see if Microsoft can release, whether it's support for Oculus Rift or release their own headset or glasses. And you can imagine playing a game like Skyrim, or even a game like Forza, you know, a car game, or Halo, and you put this little headset on and you are now seeing everything from that character's perspective. I think that is the next step of gaming, but I don't know if that's 2 years from now or 5 years or even longer.
Okay, so here's another question for you. Here's, what would you say to, you know, your average person running a business who's, you know, uses technology every day, has some idea, has their tablets, their phones, their PCs? Why should they pay any attention or understand what Xbox is and Xbox Live does? I mean, have you got some sort of commentary on why it has relevancy to, you know, the business side?
A number of reasons. I mean, if you've got a team of employees, something for them to enjoy and relax, that's one simple thing in a recreation room. But in terms of the technology, it's good to see where everything's going. There's just, the Xbox One is going to look completely different in 4-5 years from now. The actual physical machine, you know, I'm positive they'll make an Xbox One Slim. But again, that could be 4 or 5 years. But the interface, the user interface, already has had one major update, which came out just a few weeks ago, and that's already added a few enhancements. But if you look at a bit of history, like with the Xbox 360, when that first came out, there was this blade system, which a lot of people won't remember. It was like four blades that you sort of swipe left and right. Then over time, that became, I think, the new Xbox experience, they called it. And then there was the new Xbox experience. I think that's my own name I've made up. And it really evolves, and that's going to be really exciting to see how amazingly powerful the Xbox One is going to be over time with every system update. And then the fact that Kinect, a really good example, you've got Skype 1080p video calls. We're just using Skype on a PC here, but if we wanted to, we could have used, you know, two Xbox Ones connected, or even if you're on your PC and I'm on my Xbox One, the Kinect camera, the microphone on the Kinect is amazing. The actual camera will follow you around. It won't physically move. The software will notice you. So Not that I'm running around the room right now, but the camera will actually detect that. And it is quite amazing that you can do conference calls on a day-to-day basis so easily just by buying an Xbox, perhaps, and using Skype.
Well, again, you've got the other thing with the Skype connectivity now to Link, which is part of Office 365. So, again, yep. That might be a way to extend it out. So I think it's important, again, not to write off something like the Xbox or some of these game consoles, because as we have effectively the decline of the PC, people just aren't buying, the old traditional PCs. But obviously the set-top boxes and the Xbox and the Sony PlayStations are just ending up everywhere, because again, they're simple devices. You put them in, plug them in, and put the software in, and they work. So I think that's probably another lesson that businesses can take away, is there's a lot to be said for a simple, dedicated device that is connected to the internet.
Well, even just thinking of SkyDrive, which, as we all know now, is called OneDrive. They've recently changed the name. That's on your mobile, on your PC, Mac, tablets, and on your Xbox. So even from a presentation type of view, I know a lot of people would never do this ever. People are very much used to using Keynote or PowerPoint, very old-fashioned way of doing presentations. I like actually using an Xbox console to do presentations whenever I have to, just as a bit of a gimmick, but it works really well. But the fact is, you could now make a PowerPoint presentation, Keynote presentation, save them as a bunch of photos, upload that to OneDrive, and then that's it. No need for a DVD, USB, laptop, or anything. You might go to your office, and you've got an Xbox One set up on a projector, log into your OneDrive account, and go to your photo presentation, and away you go. And that can maybe expand in the future, whether it shows Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other features.
And it certainly seems to be the case. As Microsoft moves more of its technology to the cloud and it becomes independent of devices, you can see that, especially with the apps, it's when you look in the app, the Xbox apps, you can see that, there's, local television stations, there's movies, there's Netflix in the US, there's QuickFlix out here, YouTube. It really makes a lot of sense. And it is a really simple interface to work with. So, again, I think it's one of these things that even though you may consider yourself a hardcore accountant or business person only looking at the numbers, the Xbox does have something that transcends just pure entertainment, I think.
And that's what I mean. It's exciting to see where this is going to take off in the future. I mean, even recently, we're talking a few days ago, they just officially released Twitch broadcast. And, I created a Twitch account maybe a couple of months ago. And in case you're not aware, Twitch, it's exactly like YouTube, I guess, more for gaming, but for live streaming. Created a Twitch account, and all I had to do, which was really nice, the first time I did this was with Titanfall, and I just said out loud, Xbox broadcast. That was nice, without having to use any buttons or log out of the game, go to the menu and try to do it, just to use your voice. And then I chose what I wanted to call that broadcast, or Xbox Live Titanfall, and that's it. And then start broadcast. And then I was playing a quick round for 10 or 12 minutes, and it did a live stream. And then that is saved on Twitch so people can watch those replays later on in the future. And as we see, that will improve over time. You're going to see a lot more casual players out there doing their own live stream shows, because you can use your voice, your headset microphone to do commentary. With the Kinect camera, it also does picture-in-picture. So that's a feature I never thought 10 years ago it would even exist. And it's amazing. It's all free if you've got your Xbox and your Xbox connected online.
So, there's a huge amount of opportunity. Again, I think taking a step back, looking at the whole ecosystem, the cloud, the Xbox, the tablets, the Surface, I think, again, it indicates that a lot of people tend to look and criticize Microsoft, I think, based on you're looking at just one product. But again, if you step back and look at the bigger picture, look at all the products and the integration they're trying to achieve together, certainly if it comes together, and it certainly seems it's going to take a while, but if it does, it's going to certainly keep them at the forefront of technology.
Mm.
All right. Well, I think that we've certainly taken up enough of Mark's time here. So we could obviously talk games all day. I'm sure I could. But you have your own podcast to do that. So why don't you let everybody know how they can get in touch with you and what other resources you have if they're interested in hearing more from you?
There's so many. Obviously, the first one would be the website itself. So that's www.ozboxlive.com. From there, you can go to podcasts and look at all the past episodes that we've uploaded. Obviously, on Apple iTunes, you can just search for Ozbox Live and you'll find it there. But we're really pushing the social media side. So our Facebook page, just facebook.com/OzboxLive. We're on Twitter. And something new is Instagram. That's very new for me. I haven't really been using Instagram for the past few years, and I only started, I think, July last year. And I'm loving Instagram, doing updates with our latest episodes, with competitions, giveaways, letting the community know what's happening. So you can definitely follow us there. And obviously, as of last week and a few days ago, just Twitch. We've got our own Twitch stream now. So it's exciting to, you know, get involved. Feel free to contact us, email us if you're interested in wanting to write for Ozbox Live or join us for the podcast or help us in some way or even be a guest on Ozbox Live Radio and share your thoughts about Xbox and what's going on. So, yeah, a lot of ways to get involved.
Excellent. All right, well, I'll post those resources up on this episode's show notes so that people can have access to those. But take this opportunity to thank Mark for his time and also of his knowledge. I think it's been great, the information that he shared, and it's been a bit of a change from the normal corporate-y stuff. So it's good to have a bit of a break in between things. And, again, thanks very much, Mark, for coming on the show.
No problems. Thank you very much for having me. And yeah, hopefully we'll do this again. I'll have you as a guest on Ozbox Live Radio and we can talk about your favorite games.
No problems. Anytime.
Thanks, mate.
Okay, so that concludes this episode of the Need to Know podcast from the Computer Information Agency. Thank you very much for listening. This episode was brought to you by ProXPN. ProXPN is a virtual private network that allows you to use the internet the way it should be, anonymously and without oversight. For 20% off your new account, go to proxpn.com/podcast and use the coupon code CIAOps. To provide feedback on this podcast, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.